to SEDEFOP Skillset and Match podcast. I'm Panos Polyzoidis. The last 2 years have been marked by unprecedented turbulence that has had a dramatic impact on Europe's economies and consequently on the world of work and education. The coronavirus pandemic and the war in the Ukraine have accelerated long-term trends and made key transitions a matter of urgency. Transitions such as the digitalization and the greening of the economy. In order to cater for these fresh needs, the community of vocational education and training has been exploring ways in which VET systems can provide, recognize, and validate the skills required for these sprint transitions. And the word micro-credentials has been cropping up again and again as part of the debate on what policymakers ought to focus on in the immediate future. In this sixth episode of SEDEFOP's Skillset and Match podcast, we'll try to shed some light on what micro-credentials essentially are, what role they could play in preparing Europe's workforce for the challenges ahead, and what must be done in order to avoid pitfalls and make the most of micro-credentials. SEDEFOP has done a lot of research work on the matter, and with us to help us understand more about micro-credentials are Lukas Zachilas, Head of VET and Qualifications at SEDEFOP, and Anastasia Pouliou, the expert in qualifications and credentials, who has held a leading role in the agency's research on micro-credentials. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, Panos.
Thank you, Panos.
Right, let's start from the basics. Define micro-credentials. What are they, Anastasia?
In many cases, they are seen as a product of the proliferation of MOOCs, what we consider the massive online open courses. And they are generally seen as a frequently digital way to give visibility and value to a short learning course and or experience. Some people might consider them a way to recognize learning outcomes acquired outside educational institutions, for example, at work, while others see them as an important part of formal education and as a way to recognize smaller chunks of learning. But I would like to tell you, Panos, that it is interesting to understand that several other labels and descriptors are commonly used when we are thinking about micro-credentials. For example, digital badges, open badges, online certificates, alternative credentials, nano degrees. And although these definitions may diverge, common factors can be found, such as being smaller in volume, more targeted and more flexible than traditional credentials.
Well, I would say that all the things that you just described are not new. They're not peculiar to our times. They did exist in the past, perhaps even in the distant past.
You're right. In fact, micro-credentials are not a new phenomenon. And we have currently carried out a SEDEFOP study on micro-credentials for labor market-related education and training. And we realized there that many task and competence-oriented certificates that are linked to shorter learning experiences already play an important role in many parts of the labor market. Also, small and usually short in duration courses that lead to different types of awards are already dominant in many sectors, like in IT, for health workers, even in diving instruction. So yes, the phenomenon is not new.
Lukas, what is the buzz all about? Why is there so much talk about micro-credentials now at this historical juncture?
Actually, Anastasia already said that nothing new under the sun. So in reality, indeed, small qualifications used to exist. But in the last 2 to 3 years, we can say that from a marginal position, they became at the center stage of education, training and skill debates and policies. Actually, we can say that there was a kind of explosion because instead of having the discussion about a number of a few qualifications of that type, micro-credentials, in reality, we see a really big number coming around.
Was this accelerated by the novel crisis that we have been facing in the last couple of years?
I have the same opinion. I believe that one of the reasons was exactly the need to accelerate developments.
Like digitalization, for instance, which was accelerated due to the pandemic.
Exactly. Digitalization was already here, that means in our lives, but also the pandemic accelerated more the pace of developments. We can say that COVID-19 was also a catalyst in developing all this and accelerator. And in reality, the huge demand we had for online learning during the period of the pandemic led to a shift to micro-credentials because they offered fast solutions and in a very functional way. apart from this, I believe that there was also something that is very, very important in such cases, the political support. So they became part of the political agenda. So going back to 2020, there was the skills agenda, which sees and foresees issues in relation to micro-credentials as ways to support adult upskilling and reskilling policies.
So how do they compare to other types of qualifications and credentials? I mean, they're outside the formal setting, but what are the differences, the different characteristics?
Actually, this is one of the crucial questions and elements, and one of the hottest topics in our discussions, which is the relation between, indeed, micro-credentials, traditional qualifications, and I could even expand it to say that the relationship between micro-credentials with existing frameworks of qualifications or systems of qualifications. I believe the reason for having this discussion is the fact that work, common European work in the area of qualifications, that means with the European Qualifications Framework and the National Qualification Frameworks, was the most successful part of European cooperation in vocational education and training. So the fact that we had a number of quality requirements, transparency that was needed and led to a successful European framework was actually the factor that initiated the discussions linked to micro-credentials. If micro-credentials should acquire the much-needed value that is actually needed from the labor market, they have to comply with the requirements that the qualifications frameworks established. And actually, this is an opportunity to say that in our research, because we have an ongoing research, CEDEFOP has a specific focus on the interesting and challenging relationship between micro-credentials and qualifications frameworks. And I can say that initial findings and messages show that micro-credentials are not actually replacing traditional qualifications or substitute national processes. In reality, they complement traditional qualifications and serve as a lifelong learning opportunity to all.
Now let's go to what I think is possibly the most crucial difficulty when dealing with micro-credentials. Okay, I've got a micro-credential badge, let's say, on some skill, and I need a way to make sure that employers can see it, can verify that it exists. And then we need ways to compare my badge to someone else's badge so that we are comparing like for like. So we need standardization and validation after visibility and, of course, recognition. And finally, when I want to move to another country because we live in a common market, we also need transferability, portability. So a way that my qualification, my micro-credential, my badge is also recognized in another labor market. Anastasia, this looks like a really massive task. How difficult is it and how close are we to getting somewhere?
Indeed, this is a huge task. But I think that the key question to ask is whether micro-credentials are transferred, exchanged, and accumulated in order to facilitate this lifelong learning dimension you just described. I can tell you that the portability and the transferability of micro-credentials, its currency, its exchange value, largely depend on its visibility and perceived value to others, mainly to education institutions, but also to employers. And because a credential must make it visible for others that learning has taken place and that outcomes exist in the form of knowledge and skills and competencies, different actors need to be involved and different policies need to be implemented. A credential must therefore signal and carry value, documenting as much as possible that learning has actually met the agreed standards of performance. And this combination of visibility and value eventually allow the holder of a micro-credential to exchange this into a further learning, to a different job, into employment.
But we need standards to start with, yes? Like if I've taken part in a course and learned how to use spreadsheets, then we need a way to measure how good I am at this, how advanced I am, and how advanced other people are.
Indeed, standards are needed, and for this reason, the European Commission, in line with the Council recommendation for the proposal on micro-credentials, are actually now trying to discuss all these idea of standards and the specific principles behind offering, issuing, and recognizing micro-credentials. And indeed, this idea of value and currency of a credential is very important. And it has always been the case for qualifications in general. But of course, this is the case and it actually consists an important aspiration of the current micro-credentials. But we need not to forget the following, and this was actually mentioned in the CEDEFOP conference we had in November, that micro-credentials themselves are not objectives, they are tools. They are tools to make learning visible, to give value to the same learning, knowledge, skills and competencies, and also they are tools to encourage learning and motivate individuals to develop. But because this is a quite diverse and, let's say, area and quite complex, new policies with regards to recognition, to validation, transferability might need it for them to happen.
And how about the view of the learners? Are they being consulted? Are their views being taken into account?
Well, when asked about learners, we need to consider which group we refer to, because micro-credentials can be used as part of targeted measures to support inclusion and facilitate access to education and training for a wide range of learners. And this wide range of learners actually includes more vulnerable people, disadvantaged people, like, for example, the elderly, the low qualified, minorities, and many others. And secondly, because you asked us whether these learners have been consulted, I would like to inform you that in July 2021, we carried out a stakeholder group survey in the 27 member states of the EU, and we tried to address four stakeholder groups: national authorities, vet providers, but also employers and employee associations. And I think their input is very useful for our research. And what I can already tell you is that it seems that micro-credentials tend to be used predominantly from adults in continuing vet, for example, between 25, 35 and 36 to 50 years old. But quite interestingly, a percentage of 40% indicated that micro-credentials are also taken up by 16 to 19 year olds. That is a group that might either still be in the initial compulsory phase of education and training or in a transition stage into the labor market. And I think this is an important finding we need to take into consideration.
Micro-credentials are being a lot talked about in recent years and months, and there are some people who view them with a certain degree of skepticism. One of them is Professor Gavin Moody. He's from Canada. He took part in one of CEDEFOP's recent events on micro-credentials, and his critique was rather fierce, one may say. One view that he aired was that it's merely a new label for what post-secondary education has been doing for decades. So it's the same thing. We'd be doing that. We just give it a new name. What are your thoughts on that, Lucas?
Critique is always welcome, and we really appreciate to have different opinions and trying to address them. Indeed, Professor Moody from Canada actually raised this issue in our event that Anastasia mentioned before, the big November conference we had on micro-credentials. And I think in order to reply, allow me have a more philosophical perspective.
Not too philosophical, I hope.
It will be lightly philosophical. In the area of education and training, you know, we have questions that remain for years, for decades, eternal questions that require eternal debates. So Professor Moody was actually arguing that micro-credentials were missing the educational value. I think we have to step a little bit back before we are in a position to reply to this. Let's take into account that we are not living in the world that we used to know 20 or even 10 years ago. The technological changes actually, and add to this the problems that have come due to COVID-19 and also due even the recent war, have completely changed the landscape in a way that we can say that emerging demand for skills and competencies is so big that we can see changes in the way we conceive learning, but also even in human behavior. Why I'm saying this? Because the pace and modes of changes is so rapid that challenges the long-standing way we were seeing education and training systems and the way knowledge, skills and competencies were offered. Today, we learn from different sources. We don't have the traditional school system. We have different sources, different settings, different ways. We learn according to our own pace. And this creates a really incredibly complicated challenge, because we have to filter this increased flow of information and we have to find behind this quality. And of course, we should not abolish the holistic approach. This is required for traditional full qualifications. But on the other hand, we should keep an open door to the needs of the labor market, but also of our digital, I could say, brave new world. Because by opening this door, micro-credentials have the flexibility, they can present a new perspective in the way we address education and training issues.
So basically it's research work in progress.
It's research work in progress. We are doing this and we keep an open eye also to opinions like the opinion of Professor Moody. I would also say that we should not forget also a very classical approach to education and training. Behind every learning pathway, we can see three different dimensions. We have a dimension that responds to labor market needs. We have a dimension that responds to civic needs, that means to our responsibility to the society. But also there is a third dimension that has to do with personal aspirations. So this mix and balance is always behind. And I think if we discuss all these issues, we should keep a generic approach because we cannot isolate the whole thinking behind micro-credentials, but we should also focus to the whole learning that comes with us through our whole life.
Okay, let me now take you away from this philosophical discourse towards pure guesswork. 5 years from now, will we still be talking about micro-credentials and in what form?
It's not an easy question, but the reply I think can be quite classical. My opinion is that 5 years from now, we will still be discussing micro-credentials. When we are discussing about education and training, it is a reality, a slow train coming. So we don't expect big changes in 1 or 2 years. We have to pass the test of time. And that is why I believe that we have to wait. Still, as I can understand that this reply can be very theoretical, I want to quote what Einstein was saying about these things. You know that in theory and practice are the same. In practice, they are not. So theoretically, this is a good reply. But I will try also to give the practical dimension. Having the experience of the European cooperation in qualification frameworks, we saw that at least 10 years were needed in order to have something concrete, a tangible result. I think in 5 years' time, we will also have concrete results in the area of micro-credentials.
Same question to Anastasia.
I think micro-credentials are here to stay. They're not going to disappear that quickly. And although they started quite differently at the beginning, they were even considered a threat. There were different voices, concerns being raised.
That's the fear of change, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, exactly. It is the fear of change. It is the fear towards something new. And I can say that although discussions continue and opinions differ, it seems that micro-credentials will remain. And I can say that they will remain because individual perspectives and needs are very different. And it seems until now that perhaps this traditional way of learning and being educated has not managed to, you know, give concrete solutions to that. And because micro-credentials can act quite often as door openers, addressing new and emerging skills, or even serving as a stimulus to continue and go back to formal education, this is quite important. And at the same time, they can even be a tool for excellence for particular target groups that I mentioned before. So the reply to your question, Panos, is that 5 years from now, we will continue discussing this topic.
This was Anastasia Pouliou, CEDEFOP expert, and Lukas Zahilas, head of the Department for VET and Qualifications at CEDEFOP. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Panos. Thank you.
Our pleasure. Waiting for the next interview in 5 years' time.
I'm going to hold you to it. Back with more on vocational education and training, skills and qualifications. Until then, you can listen to our podcasts on our website, cedefop.europa.eu, as well as all major podcast platforms. You can also follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn and Instagram. Goodbye.